Quest to the Skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's right, it's Spaced Out time, and on the line I have Sam Auraki from the Stardome Observatory.
Josh, yes.
Oh, sorry, Josh. Sorry, it's been a bloody busy show, I've got to tell you. What did I call you, Steve?
Sam.
I don't know who that is. Josh, I'm so sorry.
You're good.
Shall we start again?
Go for it.
I've got Josh on the line.
Oh, gorgeous. Amazing name.
Thank you. Josh, we've got a lot. I was looking at some of the things that we're going to be talking about today, and I get a sense of a kind of, maybe appropriately, very sci-fi vibe to the stories today.
Oh, I mean, you know, astronomy itself is a very sci-fi thing. So, yeah, absolutely.
Are people in astronomy all into sci-fi, or is that just a naive and silly generalization?
I would say yes. Most people that I work with, people that, you know, are interested in astronomy, they all seem to love sci-fi. But, yeah, you know, everything is sci-fi until it's not.
That's true. As is everything. So, yeah. Josh, the first thing I wanted to go from the less ominous end of the sci-fi spectrum through to the more ominous. And to begin, we have a story about NASA's composite solar sail system, and I have a picture of it. And it looks beautiful. It really does look like something from a sort of futuristic film. You know, it's this kind of beautiful square shape. Looks like it has, I don't know what the sails are made out of, but what is it and what does it do?
Yeah, this is a new experimental test mission for NASA, basically. So they launched this last week from New Zealand. So Rocket Lab launched it here from New Zealand, which is, you know, always cool to have NASA stuff launch here. But it's a solar sail, so kind of exactly what the name implies. These are kind of ways to propel spacecraft in space without using engines, for example. They actually use the wind from the sun, or solar wind, and that's basically hits these really large sails, you know, that kind of look like tinfoil. And that's basically an alternate to move around in space as opposed to traditional engines, rocket fuel, all that stuff. But it's quite an experimental thing. We haven't had large-scale spacecraft do this before, but this is, yeah, kind of one of those test missions to see how viable this is.
Yeah, I mean, the picture, it looks like the sails are black. I assume that's for, you know, solar absorption, not silver or something like that, but it does have a kind of Star Trek-y vibe or something to it. Just the look of it does look a little bit ominous, but maybe that's just how I'm reading everything today.
Yeah, and it's also quite interesting because the actual spacecraft, once it's got its sails deployed, it's quite big, but all of those sails, you know, they're folded up into something that's like the size of a microwave, so it's technically a very, very small spacecraft, but once you get these sails out, it looks, you know, really big and large and very sci-fi looking, but it's how these sails interact with the sun, which, you know, essentially provides a free way to move around in space. So, you know, if we can actually make these smaller things work, you know, we can scale them up and use them for bigger spacecraft, and, you know, that could lead to sending missions out, you know, really far from the sun, you know, getting quite fast too. So I think there's a lot of possibilities with it.
So relatedly, maybe a danger for some of these sails is the threat of debris strike, which has just happened to China's space station.
Yeah, this was, I only just read about this a few days ago, but the Chinese Space Agency came out and said that their astronauts did a few spacewalks over the last few weeks, which were unplanned spacewalks, and that's because they basically had a bunch of space debris which had hit their station and had the solar panels cause some power problems for their main living modules. So, yeah, the astronauts actually had to, you know, leave the station, go outside, fix it, and then come back in, which, you know, is never a good thing in space.
I was going to say that in the story it talks about space debris procedures. What is that, some sort of laser gun that shoots the debris? Is it what kind of procedures can you have against getting hit by a bunch of space debris?
Yeah, well, you think it would be something really cool like a laser, but
I do
our procedures,
think that.
our procedures are much more basic. It's essentially duck and cover.
Well, that's not going to help you if something pierces the hull of your spaceship, is it?
Yeah, what NASA and what China does in terms of like duck and cover is essentially if they track something which is heading towards a station, if they can't physically move the station out of the way in time, they'll basically instruct all of the astronauts to get into their spacecraft, put on their suits, So if something struck the space station and it, you know, decompresses and something catastrophic happened, they can basically just jettison and leave straight away, almost like a lifeboat. You know, there is really no procedure. It is essentially just get in your spacecraft and go if something happens.
Wow.
But yeah, they obviously try to avoid that at all costs.
You know what it's reminding me of is that Sandra Bullock vehicle film, Gravity.
Yes. Great film.
I saw it at the pictures on the big screen, and I've got to say that whole sequence with the debris flying past as they orbit the Earth was some of the most stressful experiences I've had in a movie theater.
And no, that's a great film. That scene in Gravity when all that stuff is smashing into the station, that's something called Le Kessler syndrome, which is a real thing. And that's basically kind of what we're seeing is, you know, we think the more stuff that's being put in space, the more chances there are for it to hit things. And if you hit something, it explodes, millions more pieces go out in space. And all of that stuff is moving so quickly. So if you get, you know, so much things hitting other stuff, it kind of creates this chain effect, which would just start creating clouds of debris above the Earth, which, yeah, is this theoretical thing called the Kessler syndrome. So it is a possibility that, you know, if we're not careful with space debris and the stuff that we're putting up there, that could very well happen, you know.
Goodness. What's it called? The Kessler?
Kessler, yeah.
Kessler, oh, wow. Okay, well, there we go. I learned something about the film Gravity, which I might have to go and rewatch to give myself a fright. And then finally, on the far end of potentially, to me anyway, the ominousness probably comes from the way that this news article is, the headline and the subhead say, evidence for Planet 9 found an icy body sneaking past Neptune. Something is throwing icy bodies past Neptune, and scientists have an interesting idea about what it might be, which, I don't know, sneaking past, throwing icy bodies, all of this sounds a little bit frightening. Can you allay my fears?
Yeah, it's a very clickbait headline, unfortunately.
I like it.
Yeah, it makes it sound very like, you know, comets are flying around on their own. It's basically about, how long ago, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a paper that came out about that a lot of astronomers believe that we'd found evidence for a ninth planet. So it would be, you know, quite far beyond Neptune. They hadn't actually physically found it, but they'd been tracking objects which were just out beyond Neptune, so small icy bodies and comets and stuff like that. And they find that a lot of these objects are pulled in one direction, they have these really long orbits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't have as much evidence back then, but the same team of astronomers, they've come back with more evidence, and a lot more astronomers now agreeing that it's very likely that there could be a ninth planet, you know, very far beyond Pluto and Neptune and all that, that we haven't found, and it now makes more sense for it to exist than it does for it to not. We might have an actual ninth planet in our solar system.
We've got to get a better name than Planet 9. I mean, it's...
Well, we've got to find it first, and then I guess we can name it.
It's not good enough. I was going to say Plan 9. Planet 9. There we go. There's another sci-fi deep cut for you Ed Wood fans out there. Thank you so much, Josh, and apologies again for mucking you around.
You're all good. I'll speak to you in a week.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Talk to you too.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.